Morning. It's lovely to be here and to be able to share the word of the Lord again with you this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. It's where we were last time I was here. We're on the second chapter. Book of Daniel, chapter 6. Just thinking there last week, we were away over to Scotland. It was a kind of an early start. We were on the go from 4 o'clock and never got home to around 9 or a little after it. So it was a kind of a long day. So I was coming down the M1 this morning thinking to myself, it's just not as much travelling today. I'm just very, very thankful. Thankful to be there and thankful to be here. And it's always a joy to have the invite to go in order to preach the word of the Lord. You know, it's fascinating. Normally I have a diary there and I write the things into the diary when I'm preaching in places. Sometimes I forget. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, where did I finish or where did I start? I know it was on that subject, but where was I? And I have to maybe ring up sometimes. So Matthew, I rung Matthew this week. Says, where did I finish last time I was here? I couldn't just remember. So we're in chapter 6 anyway. We kind of looked at a wee at the overhaul of the earlier life of Daniel, from chapters 1 through to chapter 6, and all that he came through, and how he had been there through the different monarchs who sat on the throne at this particular time. He had been there in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he had been there in the time of Belshazzar, and now we have him here at the time of Darius, who has taken his position over the kingdom. Because at the end of the previous chapter, you'll discover that Belshazzar has been removed promptly at a feast, at a party that he had held. And little did he know when he arose that morning that that would be his last time upon this earth. Because very, very promptly the Lord took him out and he was replaced by Darius in the Mede. So we're there today and we're going to look at the whole chapter. And we're going to learn things, and we're going to see things, and we're going to observe things of a man who's well on now in years. He's in his 80th year, coming up now near his 90s, if he hasn't already touched them. And what we see here is an old man who's still walking with the Lord. And that's a very precious thing. An old preacher said to me many years ago, when I first became a Christian, he says, young man, it's good to start well, but it's better to finish well. And when you read about the Apostle Paul, you can see that he not only started well, but he did finish well. And he run the race and he kept the faith. And he was ready to be offered up for the Lord's sake. And that is a tremendous thing. And I'm always fascinated by reading about these Old Testament characters. Let us read just from the verse 1 down a few verses, and we'll go to verse 10 just this morning to give us that introduction. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, or Daniel was one. Okay? That the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as Daniel was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius lived forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Amen. And we always know that the Lord will always bless indeed the public reading of his own precious word. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the privilege which is ours of coming together again this morning. Lord, we know it's precious in thy sight to see thy children met in this fashion, in this place of worship, whereby we can draw nigh unto thee, knowing that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in your name, thou dost draw nigh unto them. We thank thee that you're here present in this very room this morning amongst us. And we pray that you would make us God conscious in our own hearts and in our own lives, not that we're just in the presence of one another, but that we're found in the very presence of our triune God. We thank thee for thy word that is before us in this pulpit. We thank thee for a pulpit that's the central figure in this building. It's the place where the word of God will be proclaimed. We thank thee for it in our own mother tongue. We thank thee for the freedom and the religious liberty that we enjoy. And yet, Lord, when we see how things are going around us, we just wonder how long this will be the case. And we just pray, Lord, that thou would ever keep it to be, Father, that there'll be an open door, and that we'll have our religious liberties for the preaching and teaching of the book and for the preaching of the gospel. We pray, Father, that thou would enable us this morning and help us as we look at this wonderful character and as we see a man who took a stand for God in the midst, Father, of hostility, in the midst of trials and troubles in life, even at his old age. We pray that we too might know what it is in this day and generation like him to take our stand for truth as well as for righteousness. And all that we do will be, Lord, motivated accordingly by thy truth. And we pray that thou would speak through thy truth to our hearts today and come and bless our very souls. Do bless those who are unable to be out. We pray wherever they are this morning that they might know your comfort, that they might know your strength. And Father, if they're even just spending that time alone around the word of God, we pray that thou would have a word in season for such today, and that they might know what it is to know the warmth of the word of God to their hearts. So Father, we commend our day to thee. We commend this service to thee just now as it comes shortly to a completion. And we pray that thou would enable us and bless us today as we meet around thy word just now. Teach us, Holy Spirit of God, teach us today. And Lord, open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. For we ask it in the lovely name of our Saviour, the one who loved us and came and died for us upon the cross, the one who rose again and has ascended to the throne of grace, and ever lives to intercede in our behalf. Lord, it is in his lovely name we pray. Amen. Folks, it is lovely to be with you again this morning. I'm going to try to stick to the pulpit, for I know if I wander, you're going to miss the volume, because that wee man has taken away my mic. But we'll get there this morning, and we'll see how we get on. We've been looking at the life of Daniel. As you look through the opening verses of the life of Daniel, we can see his character. The opening chapters of the book of Daniel, we can see the character of the man that he was. We can see his friends in chapter 3 and the difficulties that they faced in their day and generation. And you always remember that these young men were taken under captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and brought to Babylon and were sought to be indoctrinated under his teaching. We can see that these four young men took their stand for truth and for righteousness and were not motivated at all by a worldly sense of teaching, that they lived close to the Lord, that their motivation was the Word of God, and that they sought to live lives that were pleasing to the Lord. Keep in mind there were no places of worship. Keep in mind there were no places whereby God's people could come together like Grove Baptist Church in order that they might meet with one another. But Daniel's home was the meeting place, whereby he not only met with his friends, as we learn about in chapter 2, but where he met quite often, day by day, around the throne of grace in prayer, just on his knees in the quiet place of his own home. That is something that never changed with the man. His home was always a sanctuary whereby he met with God. And we can see here that that very practice is going to be under attack. And sometimes I wonder today what is going on behind the scenes. Sometimes today I just wonder what's unfolding and why God is permitting this to happen. What purpose? What plan is the end thereof? There is a thing, as we know in the Word of God, it's called God's permissive will, where God does permit things to happen, and we don't know why. We can look at the life of Joseph and we can see that. Why God permitted all those things to happen in Joseph's life. When you take a look at the life of Joseph from Genesis 37 right through to the end of his life in chapter 50, you'll discover it wasn't easy. He had his trials and his troubles and his difficulties and his fears. He knew what it was to sit down and break down. He knew what it was to shed tears. He knew what it was to be broken. He knew what it was to face difficult times. But as you read through his life, you'll discover a little phrase that comes up time and time again. And the little phrase is simply this: the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. And I want to say this, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that no matter what we have to face, no matter what is ahead of us, no matter what we have to confront, always remember this, that the Lord has promised to be a friend, one that sticketh closer than any brother. And the same Lord who was with Moses, and the same Lord who was with Joseph, and the same Lord who was with Jacob, and the same Lord who was with Joshua, and the same Lord who was with Daniel. I want to say this, he's the same Lord who's with us today. He's the one who's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forevermore. And I thank God that down through my lifetime as a Christian, listened through the mountaintop experiences, through the pathways of life, through the valley experiences where I and my wife at times have sat down and broke our hearts because of the situation that has confronted us or surrounded us at that specific time in life. Listen, what I've discovered is this, that the Lord has always been there. I mean, one day getting up out of bed, and it wasn't an easy time we were going through, and we're just having a chat, my wife and I, and we're just, I was maybe more negative than she was, but this is what she said to me. I'll never forget it. She says, "Everett, listen, do you see the same Lord who was with us yesterday and got us through that day? He'll be there today again. And he'll get us through this day. And do you see when we get up tomorrow morning? He'll still be there. For he never leaves us. Neither does he forsake us." And it's lovely to consider that, isn't it? He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Now when we go into chapter 6, we discover that Daniel, well, is an old man. Well on in years, Darius has taken over the kingdom, set up a new government. And he has put 120 princes into a positionship. But over that 120 princes that he has placed in positionship, he has now placed 3 presidents which are going to be over them. These are going to be the senior 3 people within the government. Now I don't know who the other 2 was, but one thing I do know, the Bible says in verse 2 that over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was one. Daniel was one of the 3. We can see in chapter 6 and verse 3 that this Daniel boy, this old man now, well into his 80s, we can see Darius not only placed him in that supreme positionship as one of the 3 presidents over his kingdom at this time, but we can see the desire that Darius had, for it says in verse 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him." And to my knowledge, that's where we finished last time I was here. And we just looked at, you're going through the book of Galatians, as Matthew has been saying. And in the book of Galatians, it teaches us of the fruit of the Spirit. And I personally believe that this was a manifestation in the life of Daniel that shone forth to all around him. He was different. You see, the child of God ought to be different in every aspect of life. I'm always weary when I'm even talking about the situation that's around us at the present time, especially with the unsaved, because there is an awful fear out there. But you and I, who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God, we do not fear death. We know one day that death will overcome us. We know that one day that it is an appointment that we have to keep. I do not know what way I'm going to die. I haven't a clue. But one thing I'm sure about is I'm going to die. And I often wonder, is it the COVID-19 that will take me out? Or will it be the flu? Or will it be a heart attack? Or will it be a stroke? Or many other ways? There's not one of us know exactly the way we're going to die. But we're sure of this fact, that sooner or later we're going to pass away of all the earth. And up until this point in the life of Daniel, the Lord's hand had been upon him. He had brought him through many's a trial and many's a trouble. And that's why Daniel was a man of prayer. A man who knew what it was to spend time around the throne of grace, for he knew that it was in the Lord that he lived and he moved and he had his very being, and without the Lord he could do nothing. And through all those trials and struggles and difficulties in life, listen, he never lost sight of the Lord. It's a lovely hymn, and it says these words: turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. So the situation that's before us is that Darius has set up his government, numbering 120 princes, been led by 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was one. And of course this was going to create a problem and a difficulty in the hearts of those that he was numbered among. Let us go into verse 4. It goes on to say in this verse, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as Daniel was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What a testimony. We can see here that there was a thing set into the hearts of those fellow men who were numbered amongst them, 122 of them. 2 of them especially were very jealous. Obviously they had seen the favoritism that Darius had shown towards Daniel in the fact that he thought, he didn't do it, he thought about setting him over the whole realm. And because of this, there was jealousy that set in among the presidents, and it says that they sought to find occasion against him. In other words, they sought to find fault in him. They sought to watch him every day to see how he conducted affairs in the kingdom, in order that they might find some flaw within his life, some fault which he was doing, which would have him removed from the position that he found himself in. And as they observed him and as they watched him day by day, listen, my Bible tells me that they sought. They were determined to find fault in him. They were determined to find a flaw in his everyday dealings with man. But as they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, it was his everyday duty, his everyday work with humanity. As they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, then verse 4 goes on to say this, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as Daniel was faithful. Instead of them finding fault in the character of Daniel, they found a faithful servant. And I've just got to stop here for a wee moment, and I've got to always, according to the mirror of the word of the Lord, look into my own life. And what a testimony he had out there in an old world of sin and corruption. You say to me, is it possible to live a life for God in the circumstances that he found himself in? I want to tell you something. He lived a life for God until he died. And then he went out to be with the Lord, which was for him far better. Disease boys examined him and observed him to find occasion against him. But instead of finding fault, they found faithfulness. And the Bible says at the end of verse 4, neither was there any error or fault found in him. What a testimony. Do you have that testimony this morning? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you living close with the Lord? You'll notice first of all that he was a man who walked with the Lord. Verse 5. We can see his motivation of walking such a life and living such a life before his fellow men. Verse 5 said, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." You see, that was his motivation. He sought to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Okay? The word of God that you have in your lap this morning is very precious. It's God's infallible truth. And I don't know, it's the most precious thing that I have in my home, outside of anything. Because it's through this book that the Lord has brought correction. It's through this book that the Lord has given instruction. It is through this book that the Lord has given direction. It is through this book that the Lord has brought comfort in the midst of sorrow. Because it's God's truth to our hearts. And it's something that we should never neglect to read. And there are many Christians don't lift their Bible from Sunday to Sunday. Don't just read your Bible, take time with your Bible. I have just started there recently in the mornings early, prior going to work, because I'm quite busy. So I do get up early in the morning just to spend a little time with the book. And I'm just going through the life of 1st and 2nd Samuel. And I'm absolutely fascinated. There's some mornings I find it difficult to get away from the desk. Some mornings I find it hard to get away from the book. It is just such a source of blessing and encouragement to your soul. And folks, never neglect the book. The word of God is precious. It was precious to Daniel. And it's precious to you and me. These boys, according to verse 5, recognized it, that this man lived the life, an exemplary life, in accordance with the word of the Lord. That was his motivation. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, what is it that brought this thought about? What is it that they've seen this in this man's actions day by day that brought about this statement? Well, obviously they'd been watching him. They had been observing him in order that they might find occasion or fault with him to have him removed from the position that Darius had set him in. They couldn't find it. The Bible says that they found one who was faithful. But what they did see was this. They seen a man, not only a man, listen to it, who walked with the Lord, but they observed a man who talked with the Lord. For as they observed his life from day to day, they observed a man on 3 occasions every day in the busyness of the schedule that he had to do, yet he took time to withdraw from that whatever he was doing and spend time alone with the Lord in prayer. In fact, it is told to us here concerning his conduct that Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times. I I think he prayed more, of course. But what the hymn writer was thinking about was these three occasions whereby Daniel, day by day, withdrew in order that he might go home to his own abode, in order that he might meet with the Lord. And this was something that Daniel did from a youth. It was a practice in his life every day. Not only has the question to be asked to us all from the pulpit to the back wall, are we walking with God? But the question has got to be asked, are we talking with the Lord? I want to tell you, to walk with the Lord and to talk with the Lord was an absolute delight in the life of Daniel. He could say, I am what I am by God's grace. And he knew right up to a man now at 80 and 90 years of age that the Lord had never let him down. And he never wanted to let the Lord down. Now watch. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and they said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. So there was a meeting behind backs. Behind the back of Daniel. 122 men coming together. In order that they might put a plan together, in order that they might have this man removed from where he was. Now, what is it that they're going to do now? They realize they're not going to get rid of him by finding fault in his everyday dealings with man. So therefore, they have observed him. They have seen that he's a man who goes to his house every day, and that he's a man who prays, and he's a man who walks with the Lord. And therefore, we're going to see his walk and his witness under attack. They're seeking to get a man away from the place of prayer. The devil always will seek to do that. What did they do? Verse 7. Well, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains, they're before the king now. Okay, according to verse 6, they're together, they're assembled before the king, and now they're putting their proposal. And the proposal is this: all the presidents, that's a lie. There's only 122 here. There's one left out. And this proposal that they're putting before the king is a means of removing him. And as Darius sits and listens to these boys as they put forth their proposal, all these presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains, we've consulted together, why? To establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man, if for 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. That was the proposal. And the proposal that they were putting forth to Darius sounded very good in his ears, to think that all in his kingdom would bow down before him. But you'll notice also in verse 7 that it affects every man. It says that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. It was going to be 1 month. 1 month, just the 30 days. Whereby people of the neighborhood of Darius and in the kingdom of Darius, where they were being forbidden to pray to any god or man in that space of 30 days, the consequences being this, that if they were found out, if they were found disobeying this decree, that the consequences were simply this dire, that they'd be immediately taken and thrown and fed to the lions. And the proposal that they give to the king, they now ask the king if he would sign the writing in verse 8. Do you see it there now? O king, establish the decree and sign the writing. Would you put your name to paper? Would you sign this document? And I want to tell you that which Darius was listening to, it was good to the ears, it was good for his ego, and therefore he took his pen, and he signed this, he put his signature on that piece of paper, which the Bible tells us in verse 8, listen to it, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. If Darius was to take pen and put it to paper, if he was to put his signature to this decree, to this statement, listen, what he would be doing is this, he would be signing the death warrant of anyone who was found praying to any god, whatever religion that might be, that they would be immediately taken and cast into the den of lions and removed from the kingdom. That was the main thrust of these boys going to the king in the first place. That was the main thrust of them presenting the decree before him in order that they might have Daniel removed from their midst. And therefore we can see the reaction of Darius in verse 9, for it says, wherefore King Darius signed the writing on the decree. And when he put pen to paper and signed that decree on that occasion, what he simply did was this. He signed the death warrant of Daniel. And anyone else who refused to obey. But primarily it was written for one reason and one reason alone. And that was an attack upon the child of God. From a government source. Now when we get to verse 10, we discover that Daniel came to a knowledge of what had been done. And you can get the scene here. We'll have this old man. He loves to walk with the Lord and to seek to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. We can certainly see in his conduct that he's one who loves to talk with the Lord on a regular basis. And now he discovers that that liberty is under attack. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I think it's only the matter of time before you and I might have to face the same dilemma. Do you ever think we would ever have seen the day and generation that we're living in? If my father was back today, he wouldn't believe it. And when you think of the laws of the lands that has been passed by government, and when you think of the corruption and the wickedness and the evilness, when you think of the wee children that are aborted every day in life, in numbers that is never spoken about, its head, is it any wonder, I just wonder, is it a judgment from the Lord? I just wonder. Just the one man was under attack. Daniel came to the point when he had to make a decision, a big decision. And child of God, there'll come a day when you and I'll have to choose. Old Joshua stood up one day and he said these words, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." And there'll come a day when we will have to choose. And it mightn't be easy. The consequences might be dire. But nonetheless, the consequences look dire to Daniel. I want you to see that. Humanly speaking, he just did not know what would be the outcome. Humanly speaking, there was no way out. He knew when he made that decision in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 that it could possibly be the means of his going out of this scene of time. And the wonder of it all is this, I want you to see this. There's a God who is sitting on the throne of glory. He's observing this child. We have recognized he's been with him down through his life. But you'll discover here at this point in chapter 6, the permissive will of God has been let done. And Daniel's just a man like you and me. And I think Daniel had his fears and his worries and his anxieties as he went to his house that day, knowing the outcome, what it would be if he was found disobeying the decree of the kingdom. I just wonder what I would have done. Do you ever wonder what you would have done? Maybe you'd have thought in your heart, I'm not awkward, it's only 30 days. Maybe you thought, maybe I'll just go home and shut the windows. Nobody hears. Maybe it came across your mind, we'll go and meet with God in secret. Somewhere else. But you'll discover in verse 10 that Daniel never changed his habit. Take a look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I want to tell you, never change one pinhead. Do you know what fascinates me through that verse? He gave thanks. What had he to be thankful about? His life was on the line. But do you know what he had learned? In whatever state I find myself therewith to be content. And the old man got under his knees. The windows were already opened. They hadn't to be opened. And the Bible tells me here that he got on his knees and the windows were opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. And as he got on his knees on those 3 times that day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks, and he did before his God. Oh, I like the wee phrase, before his God, because that's who he was forbidden to speak to. But he's still before his God, and he's praying, and he's giving thanks, and he's just carrying on as he did before, verse 10. What an example he is to us all. And then we'll have the boys in verse 11, and they're outside the window, and they're outside the home, and they've maybe watched them. I don't know if they were there the three times. I don't think so. Maybe they were. I don't know. Then these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Could they hear him? They'd watched him go in. They'd watched him shut the door. They'd watched him and listened to him maybe praying. And right away when they seen him do what he normally did day by day, my, they couldn't wait to get to the king. They couldn't wait to let him know what they discovered. They couldn't wait to let him know that the, what they'd found. Verse 12, then they came near and they spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And here's what they said in verse 12. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Did you not sign that decree, King Darius? And Darius answered him, and he said, the thing is true. It's true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they, and they said before the king, that Daniel. Do you see that boy which is of the children of the captivity of Judah? He regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. We'll find him. We've seen him. We've heard him. He's given no regard whatsoever concerning that which you have signed. Did you not say, Darius, that whoever was found praying to any god over that 30-day period, that the consequences were that they'd be cast into the den of lions? The king said, it's true. But when the king heard what was happening and what was unfolding around him, I want to tell you something. It just shows to us the king was unaware of why and what these boys were up to behind the scenes and behind the back of the king. And we can see the reaction of the king when he heard these words in verses 12 and 13. For verse 14 goes on to say, then the king, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. What was he displeased about? He was displeased that he was caught out. He was displeased that he had put pen to paper. And my Bible tells me here that he labored till the going down of the sun in order that he might deliver Daniel. He tried his very best. But couldn't do it. He couldn't do it because of the law of the Medes and Persians. Because it could not be altered. And therefore he was brought to a point where he had to carry out that deed which he had signed that it would have to be carried out. And therefore we can see the king commanding in verse 16, the king commanded and they brought Daniel. Where did they find him? Where did they go to get him? Did they take him out of his house? Did they knock the door, go in, arrest him? I don't think he was handled very kindly. I don't think he was treated very lovingly. I think they might have brutally handled this old man. As they brought him with the intentions, they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to bring him to the place of execution. They couldn't wait to bring him to the place whereby he would be cast into the den of lions. And Darius had tried his hardest to change the situation, but could do it was of none avail. And therefore he was brought to a point where the king commanded, and commanded that they brought Daniel, and that they brought him to the den of lions, and they brought him and they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What a testimony from the mouth of a king. What did he see in Daniel? He seen one who walked with the Lord. He seen one who talked with the Lord. He seen one who served the Lord. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thine heart, and do it to the glory and honor of the Lord. And they took Daniel and they threw him into the den. Bible says they cast him in. Didn't set him in. Threw him in. May the fall might have killed him alone. But you will discover that no manner of hurt was found upon him. I often wonder, did the Lord catch him? Verse 17, and my time's gone. It says, now a stone was brought, and they laid it upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So Daniel was closed into the den. The stone was rolled across the den's door. The stone was sealed with a double sealing to make sure that no one was able to get him out. Not that they expected him out anyway. They expected never to see him again. No one would survive the casting into the den of lions but for an intervention of the Lord. There's a bit of an Egypt one time a few years ago thought with his Bible that he would do this. And he must have been reading the story of Daniel. And he thought that he would go and jump over the fence and run into the lion's den. And the lions just tore him apart. I read about David taking on the bear and the lion. I read about Samson. Very few more. And here we have Daniel in the darkness of the den. And he's in amongst a number of lions. Let's say there's 20 of them. This was a means of execution in this day. And as Daniel spent the night in the den, verse 18 says, then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Neither was there instruments of music brought before him, and the sleep went from him. He couldn't sleep. You ever get a sleepless night? I want to tell you, this man was troubled in spirit. But you see, if you were to be able to get a wee look into the den, under into the darkness of the den, you'll discover that Daniel isn't having a sleepless night. He's out for the count. He has a lovely pillow too. Big lion's mane. I often wonder about it, you know. An old Darius, he spent the night. It was a long night. He was glad to see the morning break. And he arose early, very early in the morning, and he went in haste to the den, under the den of lions. How many there were, I don't know. We're going to finish this wee bit here. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. He's alive. The fact that he spoke, he's alive. The lions have been unable to touch him, nor harm him, nor destroy him. But what was his testimony? And with this we'll finish. Now Now, when Daniel knew, verse 22, my God has sent his angel. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I believe this. That angel was the Lord himself. I sent his angel, and I shut the lion's mouths, that they, plural, they have not hurt me. Why? For as much as before him, the Lord, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Do you see the priority? I have done no wrong in the sight of the Lord. That's the first thing. And I've done no wrong in your sight either, Darius. And then was the king exceedingly glad for him. Watch it. And he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? 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 Because he believed in his God. In the midst of all the struggles that he had to face, he never ceased in trusting in the Lord. Folks, this is a wee word of encouragement for you today. No matter what comes or goes, never, never, never lose sight of the Lord Jesus. May God bless his word to your hearts today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you this morning for this time together. And it's been a precious time just in your presence. And more importantly, just to read your word. We thank you for this wonderful account that we have of Old Testament history concerning this godly man Daniel, and how, Lord, he makes us all look into our own hearts and examine ourselves in the light of Holy Writ. We thank thee for his example of one who sought to live a life that pleased thee. That one who sought to talk with thee. And one who sought to serve thee. And Father, we thank you that you honored his faithfulness. And you delivered him from the den of those hungry lions. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to walk worthy of our calling. And Father, to be constantly found before thee in prayer. And that others observe our lives, that they may see that we serve the Lord our God. Just write your word upon our hearts and bless our souls this morning. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. And all the people of God say together, Amen. Amen.